Father, I thank you that you've got some amazing words to speak through this wonderful woman. And I pray that you'll just give her such a sense of peace as she opens her mouth. She knows that you will fill her heart and her mind with the words that you want her to say, Lord. And I ask that you will give us humble hearts to hear and receive the words that you have for us today. I thank you that today is a day of celebration. I ask that we will all join in as Elaine leads us in celebrating all that you did, Jesus. Amen.
Oh yeah. So if there are any little children that would like to make some fluffy sheep or chicks, would you like to go down to the little table and Lydia and where all the beanbags are, and you can make some Easter creations. Cool. So I'm going to talk about a celebration of three, and I realised this morning that sounds like I'm talking about the Holy Trinity, which should be celebrated, but I'm not actually going to be talking about that. Basically, I'm going to be talking about the Easter message, the Easter story, and I've picked three things that I think we can take from it and we can should be celebrating, and that's basically... Yeah, hence the title. So I thought it might be a good idea to start at the beginning and actually remind ourselves of what this story is, what we're actually celebrating today. So I've got a video that I'm going to play. If you've seen it before, you might have seen it before. Enjoy it again. If you haven't seen it, then enjoy it for the first time. It's basically the Easter story told as if Jesus had Twitter. Okay, so I'll let the video explain everything. Sorry that there was no sound. It was just music. So it was quite nice, actually, all the like silence and everyone paying attention. But yeah, I just wanted to show you that because it kind of provides a background of Jesus' greatness, of everything that he did leading up to Easter, basically. I loved the ending of that video where Mary Magdalene was just saw the tomb and was just speechless. And I just thought, you know, if you were there, that would be our reaction too. It'd be speechless, just like going there to expect to see Jesus' body, and then it's just not there. And like bodies don't get up and walk. So it's just speechless. And I think that's how we should approach Easter Sunday, with speechlessness. Easter Sunday is a time where we celebrate God's power, that power, the power to make us speechless. It's something that we need to declare this Easter. So I'm going to talk a bit about that today. So the English student within me thought that I should maybe try and find a quote or something to help us kind of gauge what Easter Sunday is actually all about. Apologies for my pronunciation, but this guy, Watchman Nee, he's from China, and he was actually an amazing man. He kind of lived during 20th century China, where there was so much persecution, and he basically led churches, he led movements, he wrote literature, he was persecuted, and he spent the last 20 years of his life in prison. So yeah, you can tell that this quote that I'm going to share for you obviously holds some truth because of the background of him. And he said, in terms of Easter, that our old history ends with the cross, our new history begins with the resurrection. So here he kind of splits Easter into two sections. So he says, our old history ends with the cross. Now, that for me means Good Friday, what we celebrate on Good Friday, that Jesus went on to that cross for our sins. So our old history, meaning our everything we've done wrong, our sins, everything that we feel really guilty of, ends, is gone because of the cross. And then our new history begins with the resurrection. That's what we celebrate today. That is Easter Sunday. That's the joy of that. I love the way that he describes it as a history, because a history is something that is so factual. We don't really question history, and you can't really change it. There might be new evidence that changes it, but it's factual evidence. You can't change history. Whereas here, it says that our old history ends and our new history begins. So our history's been changed. It's changing. And how is that possible? Because of Jesus and the power that comes from his name. And I think that's just so amazing and something that we should just really be celebrating. So you haven't got a theme yet. Ooh, I'm going echoey. Literally, lots of, any idea why?
No idea.
Sorry. just a problem with echoing. I'm just going to say something. So, basically, I have come under a lot of attack this week, and I think that means that like this is a message that is meant to be shared with you today. So the video didn't go very well. I was going echoey, things going wrong. And yesterday I was meant to practice my preach, but I kind of had to, she's fine, but I had to take my mum to the hospital instead. And like, I didn't feel very well this morning. And just little things that to anyone else would just seem, oh, they're just things going wrong. But actually, like, I've come to realize that it is attack. So sorry, and bear with me, but I think this is going to be good. And that's not me good, that's God good. So just bear with me and be excited. So yeah, the theme is celebration. Today, Easter Sunday, is a day to remember, Jesus resurrected from the tomb. Easter as a whole is a time to reflect on the cross and Christ's journey. But today is a day to be thankful and praise our Father in heaven, to celebrate him rising again. Easter Sunday's focus is on the life the cross brings rather than death. It's not on, I thought when I came to writing this talk that actually Easter was, okay, it's about grace and it's about Jesus dying on the cross and all of that. And then I suddenly realised that, okay, it is about that, but that's more what we reflect on Good Friday. And kind of every day, every time we come to church, we're thanking Jesus for the fact that he's died for us. Every time we're praying, every time we're praising, that's what we're thanking him for. So then I was like, well, what do we celebrate today? And it's the fact that he defeated death. That's what we celebrate today. And we celebrate the life that brings, not the death that brings. So I was like, this is amazing. It's not a sad day at all. This is a day where we can just celebrate God's power and God's glory. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, it says, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, or the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. That's something I've seen all over Facebook, literally all this week. Everyone proclaiming it and praising it. But that's just the truth. That's what we are celebrating. Done that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 55 to 57, it says, where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? For the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our God, our Father, our Creator, our Friend, by rising from the grave, breaking free from everything, he conquered death, and he conquered the world. And that brings us to the first thing that I'm going to talk about in terms of celebration, which is today is a celebration of hope. Why is it a celebration of hope? Well, Jesus, by rising from the grave, gives us hope because he conquered the world. And don't worry, I'm going to explain it. So what I mean by conquering the world is Jesus came to earth. He was a man. He was in man form. Now, he had human characteristics. He wept in the Garden of Gethsemane. He suffered temptation in the desert. And he faced, he died. That's all things that us, sadly, as humans face. But the difference between him and us was that, maybe I'll do us and him. That might be better. So we will give in to temptation. Everyone does. We really try not to. But he didn't. We weep and we cry. Jesus did that too, but he said, actually, you know what? Lord, Father, like, your will be done, and I'm going to do it anyway, even though it really upsets me and this is really awful. It's going to be horrible, but you know what? You're going to see me through. And that's something that we try to do quite a lot of the time, but I'm going to admit some of the time I'm like, why is this happening to me? Like, it doesn't happen. It's human weakness, something that Jesus didn't have. And then the ultimate one that we celebrate today, death. It's a sad thing. It's going to happen to everyone. But he died, but he's still alive. So he defeated death as well. So Jesus overcame the world. He became human, but did not give in to human weakness like us. He conquered the world. And that means that we shouldn't be afraid, because Jesus is an overcomer. And we are in relationship with that overcomer. So why should we be afraid? So personally, I'm always, not always, that's an overstatement, over word. Over word. An exaggeration. Yes. English student. Oh, man. don't tell anyone. Shh. What was I saying? So I quite often become afraid. I get really nervous every time I come up to preach. So nervous every single time. And every single time it's absolutely, a rhyme. Fine. literally. And it's absolutely fine. I think we're human. We always get afraid. And I'm not saying, you know, you're really bad because you feel fear. And I've just told Jesus is an overcomer and with you. So you shouldn't feel fear. I feel fear, so I'm just contradicting everything. So no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that he's going to help us get through. So I'm part of the CEU, which is the Christian Union at university. And I used to run this thing where it's called Hall Teams, and they would meet in their in the halls. These leaders would meet and share Bible study and put on events for the halls. And I was basically in charge of the leaders. So I'd meet up with them once a week and just share Bible study with them, check how they were getting on. And then I was like, what else? That takes like 15 minutes. What else should I do? I was like, we can pray. Like, pray. You feel quite good after prayer. Like, it's really good. And so we used to spend some time praying, like 15 minutes. And it suddenly dawned on me like a couple of weeks ago. And it sounds really silly to say, but like, prayer works. And there's such power in prayer. And I was realizing that in these meetings, I was kind of just doing it. It sounds really bad to like fill up time or to just be like, it's a Christian thing to do. Like, I don't know if you felt that as well. Like, let's just pray. It's great. But I was thinking, what is the 8 of us praying for an event in 2 weeks going to actually like do? Like, it feels nice and we can tell people we've prayed for them. Like, you know, God's got this, but I didn't really believe that. I don't know what I thought. And then it just suddenly dawned on me, like in Matthew, I'm pretty sure it's in Matthew, it says that whoever, like whatever you ask for, and if you have faith, you'll receive it. So there is such power, and it changed the way I prayed, because I was like, every single thing I'm saying has such power. Such power. So the moment that you fumble out like, oh Lord, or I'm not sure, or anything, the first word, so he's always with you, but then he turns and he's like, I'm listening, like I'm here. And I read in, I think it was God on Mute, I can't remember who it's by, I think it's in the library over there, and basically that God always answers prayer. Sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but he does, and he answers it with 3 answers. As simple as that. Yes, great. no, not so great. And not yet. he always answers them. There's such power in prayer. So if we have a relationship with the King, the Overcomer, our Father, why on earth are we afraid? Like, we should be celebrating and taking hope in that. And I feel that that's what today is about. It's about celebrating that hope. The hope that whenever we're feeling lost or wherever we're feeling afraid, we can just turn to our King who is right here and just say, you know, I'm really struggling, and he's going to be right there, and he's going to give us the answer that we need, not the answer that we necessarily want. So I'm going to move on to the next one, which is today's a celebration of joy. And funny enough, I'm going to talk about Mary Magdalene, maybe not in the same accent. I'm not going to try. So we're going to look at John chapter 20 verses 1 to 18. But don't worry, I've kind of skipped a bit in the middle because otherwise it would be a bit too long to look at. And it got me a bit emotional actually reading how Mary Magdalene reacted. Hopefully you'll see why. So it starts, early on Sunday morning, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb and found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. She ran and found Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. She said, "They have taken the Lord's body out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." Then the disciples kind of... she runs to the disciples and brings them along, and they kind of see it for themselves. And then Mary's left alone. And then I'm going to read from verse 11. And it says, Mary was standing outside the tomb crying. And as she wept, she stooped and looked in. She saw 2 white robed angels, one sitting at the head and the other at the foot of the place where the body of Jesus had been lying. "Dear woman, why are you crying?" the angels asked her. "Because they have taken away my Lord," she replied. and I don't know where they have put him. She turned to leave and saw someone standing there. It was Jesus, but she didn't recognize him. Dear woman, why are you crying? Jesus asked her, who are you looking for? She thought he was a gardener. Sir, she said, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go and get him. Mary, Jesus said. She turned to him and cried out, Rabboni, essentially, which is Hebrew for teacher. Don't cling to me, Jesus said, for I haven't yet ascended to the Father. But go find my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene found the disciples and told them, I've seen the Lord. Then she gave them his message. I got a bit emotional. Look at how Mary personalizes her loss. She says, my Lord. She's like, my Lord, they've taken my Lord away. I just wanted to pose the question. That's not for you to give an answer, but can you say that? Can you say that Jesus is like your Lord? Can you say that he's my Father? That he's my Creator? That he's my Lord? Deep down in your heart? And maybe a question, I was like, well, I believe in Jesus, but would I say that? Would I pray oh, my Lord, or my Father? I don't know, it's that personal. It always makes me go, what? When it says she didn't recognize him, because I'm kind of like, well, you know him really well, and I understand that you're going and you think that and he's dead, so you wouldn't expect to see him right there. But I feel like after the shock, you'd kind of recognize that it was him, and you've witnessed him do miracles or heard about him doing miracles, so he's even risen someone from the dead. So I'm kind of like, it wouldn't be that much of a surprise. I don't know, I feel like you'd recognize him. And I think that just shows how upset and how distraught she was. She's probably had tears in her eyes, and she just couldn't recognize who this man was in front of her. And I think that also challenges us. Do we have that type of relationship with our Lord? Do we feel so close that if we felt him far away, that we'd cry, that we wouldn't even recognize him when he came back? And then she goes on to say, Sir, if you have taken him away, tell me where you have put him and I will go and get him. This is the bit where I was like, oh no. She's literally pleading. She's saying, I won't tell anyone. If you've taken him, it's fine, but I just want him back. Just give him here now, please. And then Jesus turns and he says, Mary. And from that one word, she would, joy comes over her faith, and she clings to him, and she's like, I'm not letting you go now. You've left me once. I'm not letting you go again. The joy, and that's where the joy comes in. The joy on her face is something that we should have. Do you have that joy from knowing Jesus? I was thinking, and this isn't a criticism, but because I did it myself, but all those songs that we were singing were about happy day and he is risen and joy and what was the second one when it was he is risen, or the chorus? Was that it, basically? Okay, cool. And I was like, wait a second, we should be like, he is risen. That is the truth. And I wasn't even doing that, so this is not critiquing anyone. But I was like, we obviously don't have that same joy, because that's what Mary did. She was like, oh, I'm never going to let you go ever again. The next bit when Jesus says, wait, don't cling to me. And I thought, oh, okay, that's interesting. Firstly, it's great that she obeys him straight away. That's something that we should learn, adopt, definitely. But he just says, don't cling to me. And I think we cling to God in good ways. So through bad times, and when we're feeling really low, or even in the good times, actually, we just cling to Jesus to feel close to him and to know that he's going to see us through. And that's definitely not a bad thing. But when he says, don't cling to me, I think we cling on to the truth a lot of the time. Could you imagine if Mary, which she probably was going to do, was just like, Jesus, you're back. I'm going to stay with you forever now, because you're never, ever going to leave me. So I get to enjoy the joy that we have. This is so great. But no one else gets to enjoy that joy because I'm going to stay clung to you. And I think that's something that we do. Maybe we're too, I get really scared when telling other people about Jesus, telling my friends, telling my family. And even when I've had people in my life go from being atheists to come to know Jesus, like with Jesus using me, and I've done it once, like he's done it once through me, sorry. And still, the next time I'm like, oh no, I don't think I can talk to that person. And he's like, but you did it once. Like, look what you've done. Look what I did through you. So maybe it's fear. Maybe that's why we cling on to it, cling on to Jesus, cling on to the truth. Or maybe it's just because we're having such a great time with Jesus and we kind of just forget a bit. Like, I don't know, sometimes I'm like, oh, this is great. I've got so much joy. Can people see this joy? This is so great. But then you're like, wait, I haven't actually expressed the joy to other people or told people about that joy. So I think we can take a challenge from this, that we need to share the news with others. And it's not a really horrible, scary thing, because with Mary, as soon as he says, don't cling to me, go and tell my brothers, she's like, okay, and runs to them. And kind of when in the sketch they were saying like she was crazy, she literally ran up and was like, I've seen the Lord. No context, no facts, literally, I've seen him. Great. Well, we've all seen him, but now he's dead, so like what? Literally, she's just so overjoyed. The joy flows out of her, and that's what we should be like. Sorry, it just like dawned on me when I was writing this, that we should be so joyful, that it should just kind of burst out of us, and that should be, the joy of the Lord is our strength. That should be our strength. I just think that's, yeah, something that we can take away from this. Oh, I was worried I was going to run over time, but I might actually finish early. The last one is, today is a celebration of love. And I feel like you're probably all saying, well, duh, like we all know that, it's the obvious one. But I'm going to talk about it anyway. So everything about Easter screams God's love for us. And the great thing about it is that we don't have to prove our love to God. I don't know why I had it in my head, this idea of love, but I feel like it's always something that we feel we have to earn in some way, or even like we think, okay, I know God loves me no matter what I do, that's great, that's fantastic, but then we do something wrong and then we're like, oh no, I feel like I need to make it up to you. Like, I know you love me anyway, and I still know that, but maybe you'll love me a tiny bit more if I do this great thing. And that's not the case. And I can't remember where I read it or where I heard it, but the fact is, like, the Lord's love is always on maximum. It never decreases, which I always knew that it never decreases, but it never increases. And I was like, wait, how, that's not possible. Love, human love, like increases and decreases. So you kind of like someone and then you might be like, oh, now I love them more, or, you know, that kind of happens. But God constantly loves us to the fullest and like the maximum, always and forever. And that's something that needs to sink into our hearts because it's the truth. Again, I'm going to talk about Christian Union again, but we had our missions week. Yeah, and basically one of the speakers there kept saying, like, oh, we all know that Christianity is a kind of summed up as like a two-letter word. And I was like, what on earth are you talking about, like a two-letter word? I was like, there's definitely more than two letters in Christianity. And then he was like, no, it's a two-letter word, but we all know that it's a four-letter word. And I was like, where on earth are you going with this? And actually, he was going somewhere pretty great. So he said, like, Christianity is a two-letter word. The letters are D and O, do. So Christianity, when we enter into Christianity, we feel like we have to do stuff. We feel like we have to prove ourselves to God. We feel like everything, when we do something wrong, we're like, oh no, I need to be better, I need to help this person, or and then God will love me, and then I'll get to heaven, and then I'll do this and I'll do that and it'll be okay. It's like Christianity is two-letter word, it's do. And then he said, no, it's not, it's a four-letter word, and that is D-O-N-E, which is done. And I was like, yes, yes, I get it now. I agree with you. It's done. I don't know who said this. It says anonymous, but it says, I asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And Jesus said, this much. Then he stretched out his arms and died. He loves you that much.
That much.
That much. I know I'm talking about maybe what we reflect more on Good Friday, but it still links. I'm getting tangled. He loves you that much. And that's not, you're thinking, oh, that's not me. Like, he doesn't love me that much. He loves every single person in this room individually that much. And that's amazing. He's your king. He's your overcomer. He's your savior. He's your father. He's your creator. And he loves each and every one of you. So what can we take from the Easter message? We can take that love, that hope, and that joy. A joy that we should be exclaiming to everyone. A joy that we can do that because we have our overcomer right here speaking to us. Today is a celebration of love because it's a celebration of his love for us. So I'm just going to pray for each and every one of you. and then we're going to finish. So yeah. Yeah, Lord Jesus, I thank you that you overcame the world for each and every one of our sakes, Lord Jesus. I thank you that you are the great overcomer. I thank you that you love us this much, Lord Jesus. I thank you that today is a day not to be sad, not to feel guilty or upset. It's a day to celebrate that joy and that hope and that love that the Easter message offers, Lord Jesus. To celebrate that when we, like if we were there on the day, went to the tomb, we would be speechless and in awe of what you have done, Lord Jesus. Thank you that you have proven that nothing in this world, nothing that we face, cannot be overcome by you, Lord Jesus. I pray for each and every person in this room. I pray that they just come to know that love deep down in their hearts. They come to know that hope and that joy, Lord Jesus. I pray that they go away and they feel like extra confident that they can actually share that joy with others, Lord Jesus. That it's not a scary thing. That it's a great thing. It's something that will just flow out of them, Lord Jesus, from just loving and knowing that eternal joy that you offer. Thank you so much that you love each and every one of us, that your love is always on maximum. I love that. I feel like it should be on mugs or something, Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for your goodness, your grace, and your might. Thank you for what we celebrate today, Lord Jesus. You breaking death, rising again, so that we can have a hope and a future and a relationship with you. Amen.